Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
Robert is being chased, thrown on the run, and it is caught! Touchdown, Keenan Allen! What a great...
My goal is not to break you. My goal is to make you harder to break.
Number six!
Huge sack by Joey Bosa.
Yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
Picked off at the 8-yard line by Derwin James.
Sets his feet, takes a shot downfield, has night. Caught! Touchdown, Chargers!
Grab your lunch boxes and go attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Thunder Down Under Chargers podcast. You've got Andy, Jack, and Al representing TDU, and we are very lucky and grateful to have our good mates Ryan and Kyle over from Powder Keg this morning. Guys, we're going to get into a warring mock draft today. So Al, myself, and Jack will take on one, Kyle and Ryan the other. We'll go through all seven rounds of the Chargers draft. Time limits... Just get the rules nice and clear. Time limit, 7 minutes for the first round pick, 5 for rounds 2 and 3, and then we'll try and go 2 to 3 minutes for the day 3 selections, alternating the picks as we go, and we'll find a little bit of time in there to have a bit of a chat. How are we doing today, guys?
Doing fantastic, brother. This is probably the least prepared going into a draft. I think I've been in the last, I don't know how many years, but fatherhood is definitely catching up with me right now. And we've got another one on the way. And right Woo! Now I've just been taking care of my wife and my baby girl and trying to get as much Chargers stuff in there as well, around the margins. So how are you guys doing? What's going on with you, Ryan?
I'm all good. I've been the lucky man that's had a couple of weeks off between ending my last job and starting my new job. And of course, that coincidentally came in around draft time. My wife thought I was going to get a lot of housework done. Yeah, so that's funny. So I've been real busy. I actually got into some day three guys for the first time this weekend, this week. So good timing. This is coming good time.
Beautiful. Al, is there anything I've missed as far as housekeeping for today's show goes?
You've nailed it, man. I mean, we're going to try and keep each other tight. We're timing each other. And if they break the rules and take too long, the other team gets to make their pick for you. So for the slow talkers amongst us, that's a bit of pressure. And I'm looking forward to this. I mean, Ryan just hates good football players. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where we land on this mock draft. And the TDU crew out there at the end, you can tell us who had the best and who had the worst mocks. I'm sure there'll be lots of opinions. So why don't we get straight into it, guys? As guests of the show... How about the Powder Keg podcast are on the clock first and you can start.
Well, you can choose.
Off.
I reckon they can choose whether we go first or they go first,
oh, yeah.
I reckon.
You guys
how about that? You know, I think that's a little more. Let's see their strategy here.
Ryman, I'll defer to you, brother. What are you thinking?
You know what? I didn't get my driving license until a couple of years ago. I was a backseat driver for the majority of my life, so I'm going to be that now. Let's go. We're putting you guys up on the clock.
Okay.
Well, hey, Al, here's a question. If you guys pick a guy... In doing warring mock drafts, are we supposed to pick somebody different?
No. So okay. So for this one, happy to, like, whoever you think the best player is, man, it's BPA. It's BPA, man. Don't feel pressure. Separate drafts. Let's see where we land. So we'll go up first.
Are we thinking of having any checks and balances if there's a random guy that should not be there because PFF messed it up, or just roll with it?
Sometimes Derwin James is on the clock, man. People slide for all sorts of reasons. So if they're there, we can pick them. Okay, so we're on the clock starting now.
And no trades or anything like that, by the way, listeners as well. So we're just going to pick the players that fall.
Thank you, Jack. Oh, so teams have picked before us. You can see...
Matthew Golden, top 15 pick.
Oof, Will Johnson goes the pick immediately before the Chargers. So let's talk this out, boys. Here's what I'm thinking. You've got Walter Nolan, if you're looking for interior pass rush, some red flags with him. You've got Michigan defensive tackle Kenneth Grant. We've spoken a lot about what he's good and not so good at. He'll probably be a popular guy for the Chargers. Wide receivers, you've got Luther Burden. Bit some effort issues with him, but he is an explosive playmaker. I think that's a fair spot for him, around 22. Emeka Ebuka, we've spoken about being just Mr. Dependable perhaps a little vanilla, but in a class that has a lot of players you're maybe not so confident in, he's one where you're pretty sure you know what you're getting, a dependable slot receiver at the worst. James Pierce has slid here because of some effort character issues, but he's a very dynamic first step power rusher. We've got Ryan's boy, Amarian Hampton, and we've got Colston Loveland on the board, guys. We've got the Michigan tight end, and perhaps one more just for completeness. We have Gray Zabel
there as well,
the interior offensive lineman from North Dakota State. So I'm happy to sand it off with you guys. I mean, I'm thinking Kenneth Grant's looking very nice. I'm thinking Colston Loveland's looking pretty nice, and Gray Zabel not bad either. But I'm hey, we're a democracy here. Andy, what are you thinking so far?
It's a tough one, I think, man, because, yeah, especially the two Michigan boys are guys that
Derek
Harmon
as well. Sorry, Derek
Harmon's
also on the board from Oregon.
There as well.
The two Michigan guys are, I'm sort of happy either way, I think. As we've discussed on previous shows, looking at this draft class, maybe it's a little bit deeper at defensive tackle. I think what Colston Loveland can provide for the offense for Justin Herbert is pretty phenomenal, so I'd be very happy there. Jack, what do you think? Anything different other than those views?
Just quickly, Jack, check. Ryan or Kyle, how are we going on time?
Good right now. I think you're at about 4.5 minutes left.
Okay, I'll make this short and sweet because it's easy, right? I said it yesterday in our offline chat that we have together. I want Colston Loveland at 22. The guy, just after watching a little bit of tape yesterday as well, the guy can just get open, weirdly. And I sort of was seeing shades of that Kelsey broken plays. He finds these weird wrinkles when plays break down. I love it. I love it. And also reading a little bit of what happened with Evan Engram and what was going on in Denver and things like that, it feels to me like the Chargers want that Y tight end. They want someone that can be that receiving tight end. They went fairly hard at Evan Engram, but I think if this is the board right here, Kenneth Grant would be awesome. Colston Loveland, all day, every day, I'm putting everything in here. Draft him, please.
So we're running it up, and we've got the fucking Michigan Wolverine Colston Loveland as a Charger. Done.
Woo! If that happens on draft night, I'm making a short video and I'm running around topless. I think that's that's a great first pick.
Viewer discretion.
Okay,
in
the gym, the powder keg pod.
Here we go. Mason Graham went 2. Wow.
Mason Graham at 2.
On the clock.
Ooh. Wow.
So we've got something interesting here, Ryan. Matthew Golden's on the board. He's a sub 4.3 receiver. James Pierce, but we heard some rumors in the offseason. One of Ryan's favorites, Hampton's on the board. We got Colston Loveland as well.
Jalen Walker doesn't make it to 22 too often either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true. I've not done a lot of mocks where he's fallen that far, so it does make it interesting. He fits the role that we've got left open a bit more than some of the other guys here. So as an as an edge rusher, but he can, you know, he can be on 2 feet. He can cover. Matthew Golden, like I said, he's not fallen that often at this point here. However, in my mind, it's all about how the board stacks up beyond this as well. So you've got to think about how in tandem you're working with things. So as much as I love Hampton, I think he's the second best running back in this draft, quite clearly. Really fits the gap system well, so he'd be Greg Roman's boy. However, this is a deep running back draft, and there are other positions that are not so deep. No matter what Chad Alexander says, I don't think tight end is a very deep position in this draft. For me, it's a very viable option to go with Colston Loveland. He is very much a wide receiver that can block very well. His footwork actually mirrors a wide receiver. He does this really nice thing where he leans in the opposite direction, then he's going to break. But he does it without disguising, giving away the tail of his body too much. And that's really tidy to do. These guys are going to just let me talk because they know I'm just going to run over the time on my own. And then Kyle will be like, hey,
I'm watching, brother. I got a timer going.
Kyle, man, like, you've done a bit of research recently. What are your thoughts on what we've got on the board here?
So if we, Golden is really tempting because I've mentioned this previously because Golden reminds me of, you know, Hollywood Brown with the Ravens, in that he's a speed receiver that can, you know, there's a couple different ways a receiver can impact the running game, right? You could have those receivers that are very willing blockers, but then you also have those guys that are so fast, they force the cornerbacks off the ball and the safeties even have to keep their eye on him. So I really think Golden's that type of mold that would really thrive in our scheme. And the best part about him is with wide receivers that have that elite level of speed, you owe it the chance of getting value back for them. If for whatever reason it doesn't work out, or if in 3 to 4 years you just determine, look, schematically, we don't need to have a 30, 35 million, maybe in 4 years, it's 40 million at this point, dollar receiver commanding that much salary cap, we can trade him away and get a first. That's what they did with Brown. You look on the flip side and a tight end like TJ Hockenson, he got traded to the Lions, even though he was 2 years away from an all-pro season. The best they could do was get a pick swap out of the Vikings. One pick that moved from a fourth to a second and another, I believe it was a future fourth to a future third or something like that. So that's a very viable option, I think, that they're going to be considering. But I am fully with Ryan here, that, and you guys, I think we're all in the same boat, that tight end is just such a focal point of this offense, and Loveland has so much talent for and fills such a need for us that it's just a no-brainer pick. And what have they been saying all off season? You know, we need to get Justin Herbert weapons. This feels like the obvious pick, this or a receiver like Golden to me. One or the other.
Yeah, and I know it's chalk. I know it's boring. I know it's not good for the fans, but we've got to set up our board right, and we have to do what we think is the best in this situation. And for me, that's Colson Loveland. Not only is he a fantastic receiver, he's also a much better blocker than people are giving him credit for. He's just below like Warren, and Warren has a different role in the blocking. He's more of an F-type, H-type, so he's more in the backfield or the edges. But anyway, we're getting close to the time. I can feel it. Let's just punch in Colson Loveland.
Okay, you got the pick in 4 minutes and 40 seconds, so not too bad.
Can we snake it? Let's snake it just for the sake of you DJing it back and forth.
Yeah, let's snake it. But before you do, I'm going to add two wrinkles just for the listeners. There was a report this morning that Colson Loveland actually may have some slight injury concerns that are scaring a couple of teams. The nature of those has not been disclosed, but I wish I could attribute the source. But I saw Alex Insdorf from Bolt Breakdown circulate it. He may be falling down some boards, although we're very much in the silly season now, a week leading up to the draft. Who really knows? But for those of us who think there's no chance he will be there at pick 22, maybe there is. The other thing I'll add is Matthew Golden. If he's there on 22, he's a player I love. I know we live in a conspiratorial time, and his 4.29 40-yard dash time made a lot of us who've watched him on tape stand up and say, hang on, he doesn't look anything like that fast on tape. He looks more like a 4.4 guy. And Sam Monson from Check the Mic podcast, formerly of PFF, he went further than that and thinks it's just a genuine recording error and that the time gun fucked up. And why he says that is he did his due diligence. All the scouts who hand recorded his time at the combine got something between 4.4 and 4.45. Sam Monson said he did frame by frame on his television, and no matter how many times, he couldn't get it to line up. And then when you look at his miles per hour acceleration that they measured at different points of the 40-yard dash, they were trying to say, as a matter of physics, it would be impossible for that to equate to a 4.29. So I know we live in a very, let's call it a Trumpian times, where who knows what the real source of truth is, but whether he's 4.29 fast or 4.4 fast, I think he's still fast enough to win at all three levels. But yes.
Okay. So you're saying he's less of a Matthew Golden, but more of a Matthew Bronze. Is that where we're at? Is that how we're looking at it?
Maybe Matthew Silver. I'll go Matthew Silver. And if he's
okay,
there,
Matthew Silver.
Fantastic. Okay. So we're snaking it, Cole. So you guys are back on the clock for round two. You've taken Colston Loveland in round one. For this round, you get 5 minutes and your time starts now.
Scroll past the linebackers. We do not need to look at them at this point.
Let's go right. Well. Sorry. this is how terrible I am with computers, man. I'm sitting there clicking on the our StreamYard page trying to navigate it from here. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, I'm sharing my screen. What an idiot. Yeah. So sorry about that. So, Rye, where do you want me to look, buddy?
So let's just 30 start. Seconds, let's just
talk,
boys. I like this.
Let's just talk through the board. So I like Arroyo. I don't think he's anywhere near the value at this pick for me. He's so dynamic out in space, but he offers nothing as a blocker. He just literally shoots two shoulders at someone and hopes he lands on something. So Trevion Henderson, fantastic. And he also is probably the back that, before we get down into the later rounds, that pairs up best with Najee Harris in terms of he complements his skills really well. He's a third down guy, he's pass pro, he's explosive. And he, you know, he's a C-gap hit it, home run threat. So he's a really nice sort of a mesh if we wanted to go, you know, straight on the offense, hit the points of weaknesses straight away. If we're going through some of these, the edges I do not like the ones that are available. So Oladejo and Ivy. Ivy's really raw, got a lot of ability. I'm glad this guy came up because I'm going to talk about at some point. Darian Porter is my sleeper cornerback for the draft. He is absolutely insane athlete. He's 6'4", 200 pounds, runs a 4.3 genuinely. And there are three examples where he chases down would-be touchdown scorers from 35 yards or more away from them. Like when they're running full sprint, he's covering ground with massive strides. He's fast, he's tough. He's only been playing the position for 3 years. And he's already got the instincts that are really good. So if we were going to go corner, Carl, hit me, like, let me know if you've had that as a thought this early, considering what we've already invested elsewhere.
Yeah, I would have no problem with it, but it's, I think you and I have a guy or two that we like late, but like you said, Darian Porter just has that size and speed and athleticism that it seems like a great pick because we know he can develop as well. We don't have the immediate need for him to start. He can be rotational and then work his way in. But so I love that pick as well.
Just quickly, Ryan, do you have any issue that he's maxed out physically? Because he is older. He's pushing 24, 25 years old, comparatively to some of the other younger guys. So is that why you're saying he's kind of already got those physical traits? Or what? Do you have any issue with his age range there or not?
I've paused your clock, by the way.
It's definitely a something that you're concerned. So he's had 5 years of college. He was 2 years as a receiver. He gray-shirted. Then he just sat because he didn't get played. Then he went into his 3 years of development and as a corner. I think as an athlete, he's probably at his max. However, he is a 9.99 RAS athlete. He's hyper-athletic. Jumped out, explosive. And also he's got fantastic instincts. So overhauls a few of the concerns for me. So you might have only a year, so I wouldn't want him to sit. I'd want him to start. But what we'd do there is we'd be pushing Tahib Steele into the slot. This is right, though. Looking at wide receivers. So for me, there's nothing up here that would want me to take a wide receiver.
No, you got 2.5 minutes, Carl. Oh, 2.5? I didn't count that. Yep, 2.5 minutes.
Okay, so we've already got a tight end, so we don't need any of those. Anyway, so my thoughts are right now, so we're looking at Trevion Henderson. Or Darian Porter for me. So I know it's a deep running back class, so that's why I didn't want to jump on this early. However, it's good value to get him here. He's a fantastic player. RJ Harvey is a fantastic running back and completely overlooked. I'm glad PFF have him higher than most people. He's a do-it-all guy, all three downs. So I think Kyle, you're going to have to help me out here between Trevion Henderson and Darian Porter. If we go Darian Porter, we don't have to worry about it later, or we can double dip.
I think you and I have a sleeper late that we like. He's not going to be a Porter, but he's tall, he's fast, we like him, and we don't need to fill that spot as an immediate starting spot now. So I'm with you on Henderson. Let's go with the home run hitter. I think Harbaugh has seen a lot of him, so he'll like him. He knows a lot.
He tried to recruit him as well. He's one of the four running backs he tried to recruit in this class. So, yeah, go punch it.
Wowee. Okay.
The pick is in. Trevion Henderson. Chargers truther will be ecstatic. I don't think he watches our show, but Mr. Running Back himself. He played a bit of running back, in case you didn't know. High school. So, all right. We are... Oh, shit.
That's my screen right now, so go ahead. Yep.
All right. Okay. We're back on the clock. We had Colston Loveland like these guys in the first, and our time starts now. All right. Still, we have some needs, guys. We've got any kind of defensive line need, wide receiver, corner, running back. Omar Norman Lott, he is an undersized three technique, probably designated pass rusher. You don't want him on the field on early downs, but the best pass rush win rate in the class at the defensive tackle position. He's a little unrefined, but he just finds his way into the backfield. So if you're looking for that explosive three technique, he brings that. I think we've got Travion Henderson on the board, who these two have just discussed. As for corners, we have Darian Porter. We have Maxwell Hairston, who ran a 4.28, predominantly a zone guy, probably a decent scheme fit. Had a high number of interceptions last year. I think he had 5 of them. And Benjamin Morrison, another corner from Zaner's alma mater, Notre Dame. Very good cornerback, but he's had multiple hip issues. So that might explain why he slid down the draft. Trey Amos.
I was going to say, yeah, Trey Amos looks okay.
He's probably my favorite of that bunch, to be honest. I think he's relatively scheme agnostic. He's played for Alabama, has played at Ole Miss, a good football player. He can play press jam. He can play out in space. Not a bad tackler too. Edge rushers. Let's quickly see edge and interior offensive line. Edge, you've got Oladejo. You know, that's if you want to go local. He's kind of a power rusher. I haven't watched a lot of him. You still have Josiah Stewart on the board, probably a little early from him, even though he's a Michigan player. I personally don't like the value of any of these in round 2. I see Jared Ivey as a little like Kyle Van Noy, the way he's built. And then quickly, interior offensive line. If the team does want to attack interior offensive line now, Jack, your boy Tate Ratledge is on the board, who I did like myself when I watched him. I thought he's got the athleticism to develop into quite a good offensive lineman. I think those are kind of the guys I'm thinking, Andy. You've got Tate Ratledge, you've got Omar Norman Lott for some pass rush, or Trey Amos as a corner if you want to hit that now. Where are you leaning, boys? And we've probably got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think as far as the sort of pass rush upside of a defensive tackle doesn't really fit the bill for how Harbaugh and Minter want to build that defensive line. I don't know if I want to spend such high capital on cornerback at this stage, unless you're absolutely taken by one or two of the prospects. Tate Ratledge, there's upside there. How do you see his positional flexibility on the interior of the line? Any history or...
No, not as good. Center? I think he's probably a guard. He's 6'6" and
he's also played exclusively at right guard. He also hasn't played left guard as well.
So I'd be leaning Trey Amos myself, probably, because I do think he could develop into a CB1 type. But, Jack, I'll let you decide on this one. I mean, I think the depth of running back is good. I don't want to hit that yet. Amos is a good pick here, and there's not another interior pass rusher like Omar Norman Lott in this draft. He stands out like a sore thumb. Even though he's undersized, he will bring that pressure up the middle. So, Jack, you're our GM. Omar Norman Lott or Trey Amos or Tate Ratledge?
Oh, well,
45 seconds.
Well, I keep trying to convince myself that Tate Ratledge might be okay. But he's the second ranked guard in the draft as well. He's an athletic beast. The position flexibility doesn't worry me too much about that, whether he can play left or right. I'm just so interested.
1 minute.
I'm going to take Tate Ratledge. Hit offensive line again. I will take Tate Ratledge, but you two, I felt like I picked Colston Loveland. I want Tate Ratledge. You pick. You go there. I'm protecting
okay
our number one.
I think at the back, late in the second round is good value for him, and we can attack the depth at edge and interior defensive line and wide receiver pretty good. I think we can hit that later. I'm happy to lock that in, Andy.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Done.
I mean, you guys didn't mention his injury concerns. Just to remind you, he's had a couple of injuries, and also with Maxwell Hairston,
tightrope surgery.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but that's okay. Doesn't need to start straight away. So you know, no. Get him in there. Just another body, baby. Another big body.
It's not easy when that clock is going. The pressure is on. it'll be interesting to see what the Bowl fam think about that one. All right. Oh, snaking. So it's back to us.
Yeah, you're still.
And, oh gosh.
Okay, we're still up, and we have 5 minutes again, and our time starts now. So needs are wide receiver, edge, defensive tackle, and running back.
Is Oladeo still there as well?
Two of my favorite wide receivers in the class are on the board. I wouldn't take Jalen Noel because I think he's more of a slot, a bit redundant with Ladd McConkey. Kyle Williams, for me, is an extraordinary separator off the line. I think he's only 5'11", 190 or thereabouts, but if you just watched him when he played with Cam Ward at Washington State, and even this year, he just consistently got open. One of those guys who can contort his body, catch the ball, can line up. Because he's such a good separator, he can play a bit of X, you can play him at the Z, you can play him in the slot. He's not going to help you up much as a run blocker, I'm just going to call that out, but he's my favorite wide receiver on the board out of the ones available. Quickly on to running back. There's some real good value here. Ooh, for me. I view RJ Harvey and Damian Martinez both as really good gap scheme fits and players with RB1 upside. I would be happy to go in either of those directions. I think Martinez showed a bit more than Harvey in the sense that Harvey had a very high yards before contact across his career. He played with a good O-line, and when he found a space, he's a home run hitter. Martinez is really good at, you know, making that first guy miss by breaking a tackle. He's scheme agnostic. He's played in a zone scheme at Oregon State. He's played in a gap scheme at Miami. He's had 1,000 yards basically each of his three seasons. Good football player. So I'm leaning Damian Martinez or Kai Williams at wide receiver. If we're looking at edge and defensive interior, because these are positions we do need, guys. Anyone who I'm really excited about, you've got two fat nose tackles in Jordan Phillips and Jamari Caldwell from Oregon and Maryland. They're your run stuffers who can take on double teams. Ashton Gelot's a bit of a late shooter, but, you know, third round, he'd be fine. Oladeo would be fine. He's one of my favorite sleepers here. David Walker from Central Arkansas still being on the board. Maybe we hope he makes it to the fourth round. So at the moment, I'm leaning towards Kyle Williams or one of those two running backs, but I would probably go Martinez over RJ Harvey. But I'm in your hands.
Martinez for me.
The stopwatch has gone off. How's all
of that? Oh, the stopwatch has gone off, Alistair. You're too slow.
It's a kicker. It's a kicker.
You're too slow, Alistair. You've cooked us.
What do you mean?
The stopwatch has gone off. 44. No.
Oh, you know what, no. Al? I'm sorry. We snaked, and I don't think I hit reset. My bad. You were close to getting a kicker there.
We still.
Jeez, loves the sound of his own voice, though, old Alistair, doesn't he? Woo.
Al's right.
We've got 2 full minutes
left.
Gave
him the scare.
We've got 2 minutes left.
Back onto the dross. I think we've hit like an offensive passing weapon. So I'm happy to go with your take on the running back. I think that's quite an integral piece to this offensive puzzle.
Yep, I'm happy with Martinez as well. I really like Martinez. I just don't think the running back room at the moment is particularly full. And you know, Roman, there's no excuses for Greg Roman after this draft, I can tell you that much, because if we go Martinez in the third round, he's got his tight end, he's got another running back, and he's got another big guard. So put Roman on notice. We're drafting for you, buddy. If you're a bottom 10 offense halfway through the year, you're out of here. Piss off.
All right. Damian Martinez is the selection. And for the TDU crew, I think one of my favorite player comps in the draft, when I watch Martinez, I saw James Conner, the Cardinals running back, at least similarities in terms of the way they move and their playing style. So that is our third round pick in the books, just on time, Kyle.
That's exciting, guys. So you have a very clear vision for improving the run game, essentially, with your first three picks. The offense overall, but I like it. I like it.
I like that we've gone two different directions on running backs. That's what I'm quite a fan of, because you guys have gone a bit more similar to Najee. He's a pattern like Damian Martinez. He's a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more technical than Najee. But Martinez is still a power back at the end of the day. He's going through people. I don't see anyone else in our running back room that can exist on third downs, though. And that's what I would concern me with what you guys have done. So we've got a little bit more complimentary. I'd probably say we're like, but if Najee's only at a short-term deal and he goes, then we'd still have to draft a top-end running back.
Kamani Vidal season, baby. Get him in on third down.
Is he fast? did I miss something? Like, I love Kamani Vidal, but he's not that guy.
And don't forget about Scott Matlock catching those little passes on third down, baby. That's going to win us a game.
let's give it to Fisk before we start Scotty
Matlock. That one wheel rod that we hold on to.
Well, and the crazy thing too, Ryan, is there are still lots of running backs that we like that can bring different dynamic elements. You know, like we both kind of went early for running backs, but I think we all also have running backs that if we have to go day three, everyone's comfortable with. But the way our board felt, I felt like Henderson was the right call there too. But it just, there's a lot of different ways you can go with that position for sure.
100%. Right. Let's switch on to, if you don't mind, a defensive interior, first of all. I want to see who's left on our board. Because this is a position of definite need, and there's a few guys here I wanted to talk through. Jamari Colwell, I disagree with Alistair here, but not a shocking revelation. But he has got pass rush upside. So at the Senior Bowl, he showed quicks. That he could. He was one of the biggest and quickest guys. He has a really nice push-pull move. He can drag guys under, swim over them. He can get penetration up the middle fast, which is something I think that the current group we are lacking quite desperately. So he's one guy we're here. Next guy, JJ, I'm going to butcher this, Pegues, I can't remember how you pronounce it. However, he has got two things for him. He's a nice run stuffer, but he has also got, he's a goal line back for Ole Miss. So it'll be bye-bye Scott Matlock, or reduced his role down to back onto a rotational defensive lineman. He is way better than what our man Scotty is at that. So he's got that upside. Just moving on quite quickly though. So Aninius Pebbles is nice, but way too early for him. So let's look at another position. Carl, what do you reckon? Wide receiver?
You and I have two receivers that we were like talking about the pros and cons of. Make a lot of sense. I agree with Al. Like, there's definitely upside to Kyle Williams' game. I think we all agree that Noel would probably be just a redundancy on this team right now. A debate between Savion Williams and Torrey Horton is interesting to me. Horton's a guy that, you know, torched probably the most talented player in this draft, right? He's the guy that gave Travis Hunter fits. Now, granted, Travis Hunter was playing both, you know, however many snaps he played as a quarterback and a wide receiver. And Horton's production mostly came late in that game, if I remember right, in the second half. But he's got that dog in him for sure, and has a lot of, looks like a more polished receiver, right?
I'd probably say the only thing with him is his skills overlap with QJ a lot. He's really good on drags. He's good at running away from people, going horizontally. He's got better catching. First of all, and also he's got a better ability down deep in the field. So, but there's a little bit of familiar. I'm not as big a fan of Savion Williams as you are. However, obviously he's a big guy. He makes contested catches quite well. Just for speed though, can we look at the guards quickly? Yep. And then I think we have to probably move on to making our pick. So, okay, scroll down a little bit more. Okay, no one here. Okay, so for me, Miles Frazer is there, but he's a lot later, so let's go back on him. Okay, so I can talk about him later. So for me, we're looking at either Torrey Horton
Kobe Bryant's there, but I don't think he was
not a fan of him. None of these corners do anything for me until a bit later on. So I'd probably say for me, Jamari Colwell is my vote, but Kyle, I've done most of them, so I'm going to divert to your...
No, you're the scout, brother. You're the coach and the scout.
He's on DI. Great, before we run out of time.
We have a minute and a half right now. A minute 45 is what I see.
Okay, so do you want to look at the edges just quickly if we've got the
time? Yeah.
Man, I would not want to be in a draft room. Ooh, sweating. none of these guys do anything for me. Tyler Batty is a guy I thought he would go way later than this though, but he is a huge man, really good run guy, but then again I think Thule is a better run defender and he would fill that role. He's also a bit more flexible, he can cover, so Tyler Batty would be that guy. But we have quite a lot of run focused guys already on the line and we need pass rushers, so that's why I think Caldwell for me.
So my only objection to getting the your DI pick would be the question I would have is, there's two receivers that I feel like are I'd be happy with, but do you have ones in rounds 4 or 5 that you'd, or later, that you're comfortable taking over that spot?
I do. Okay. Can you just see if CJ West is anywhere down on this list? Is
40 seconds. Say?
On DI.
Love him.
On DI.
Yeah, I think he's probably already gone. PFF love him loads, so yeah, he's already gone. Okay, ignore him. So yeah, Caldwell for me is my vote. But you know what? We are going offensive, so it's up to you.
If you got a guy later, let's go for it. At receiver, I'm okay with it. Go call.
Okay. All right, so just to quickly take stock, after 3 rounds of the NFL draft, the Thunder Down Under have Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan, Tate Ratledge from Georgia, the guard, and Damian Martinez, the running back from Miami, and the Powder Keg Podcast. You talk us through who you've got, Cole, in your 3 rounds.
So far, we've overlapped with Colston Loveland. We picked Trayvon Henderson in the second, and then in the third, Jamari Caldwell. So we are...
Couple of reaches there for sure. So we got...
Yeah. Get out of here.
Okay. Right.
Who had 36 minutes on the sweepstakes for first mention of reach?
Yes. We made it to 36 minutes. All right. Let's mindful of the time for day 3. You guys are back on the clock since it's snakes. We're going to go with 2.5 minutes per pick for day 3 picks. 2.5 minutes. You're on the clock starting from now.
Let's go right. Wide receiver right away. Let's not mess around.
That's okay. Sorry, computer's working slow. Ah, here we are.
Imagine if it happened in the draft room.
Okay, Ty Felton's an option. Kanata Mumpfield is a fantastic, fourth down there. He is a fantastic route runner, really, really polished, gets clean open on his breaks. He leans into his routes. He's not the most explosive athlete, but I feel like giving someone else on giving Herbert an option. So on third down, he's not just staring at a lad. This guy's going to be open. He reminds me so much of Keenan Allen, and I feel like he's a great option here.
Okay. Anybody else that is attractive to you?
Not at this range.
You're running to the podium with him.
I am, unless you have anything, any other positions that we feel. I feel that we've left wide receiver as late as we can. Bond, it's an option. So, yeah.
Nope. I am solid there. Let's do it. Punch that ticket.
Humpy Mumpy. Love it.
I only watched his tape today, so it was good. Good.
Underrated. Okay. Round 4 for us, guys. And yeah, we've got 3 offensive players. Poor Jesse Minter. Let's go. Time starts now.
Defensive interior or cornerback, I reckon, Alistair.
Kyle Williams is still sitting here, who I have as a top 50 player in the draft. But can we really go tight end, guard, running back, and wide receiver? I think he's a stud. Just going to put that out there. Okay, if we don't like that, edge and defensive interior. Savion Jones is a big 280 pounds power rusher, so a bit of run defense. Maybe not high upside as a pass rusher. Quandarius Robinson here is the high-end pass rusher. He had, over a 90 PFF pass rush grade. He had to bide his time behind Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, but then really took a leap this year, and he's got really nice first-step quickness, explosiveness. So his production doesn't look great, but I think he's just scratching the surface and could be quite a good pass rusher. I don't love the interior options at this point of the draft. Ty Robinson's a bit of an undersized pass rush type who tested well at the combine. I'll quickly look at corner. We've got a minute and 20 left on the clock. I've watched a bit of these guys. Melo Dotson is the one who kind of stands out, at least in terms of picking the ball off. He makes some plays. Not a great tackler. I think he's about 6 foot, 190 something pounds. I see Ryan shaking his head, but we've got a minute left on the clock. So for me, we're either just saying, fuck this, we're going offense because this guy is the best player available, Kyle Williams, or we're taking Quandarius Robinson to develop as a pass rusher. We've got 40 seconds on the clock. Andy, this one's your call, man. Are we just loading up for Herbie Loaded, or do we need to give Minter a pass rusher with Mac being 33 years of age? 30 seconds.
We do, but if this Kyle Williams is all that you're spooking, then I'm happy to go wide receiver at four. Pick 125.
Okay, 15 seconds left. We're going wide receiver, Jack. It's happening.
Do it. Done. Let's go. No excuses now. Absolutely. God, this is a very one-sided draft. Anyway, here's what it is.
Okay. Hey, we are back on the clock, and our time starts now in round five. Okay.
Let's look at
Ty Robinson is still there. Yeah, let's look at the defensive line.
Give me a big boy, Alistair. Give me a big sort of DT, NT. That's what I'm needing for this group, please.
Look, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins is a bit of a developmental guy, 6'5", 280, who has been in a good program at Georgia, can move along the line. Oh, okay, yep. Zeke Biggers, we don't have too many big interior guys now. We've got more I think it's a reach for him personally in round five. I didn't love his tape.
What about CB? What have we got?
I watch Tim Smith from Alabama. I've heard people talk about him. At corner, Alex Insdorf loves a bit of Robert Longerbeam from Rutgers. I know he's kind
You'd
of...
You'd love a Longerbeam, wouldn't you, Al?
Got him, yes.
Quick, the timer. We're running out of.
Yeah, the timer. Yeah, we're. What's gonna? No, what are we?
We've got a minute. We've got a minute and 15 seconds.
Well, who's the best player available currently, Alistair? Who's the best player available? So remove the filters. Who's our? What have we got? So.
Ty Robinson, because he tested really well at the combine as more as a pure pass rusher on the interior. 310 pounds,
okay.
6 foot six.
He's a big man. Just coming I worry about those just if it's a pure pass rusher. But I think looking at the size, what is he? 6'6", 310. That would be my pick. We need to do something on the interior. Because I think the guys that are making up that room currently will be okay. None of them have interior pass rush like a Puna had. So for me, I think maybe it's Ty Robinson.
All right, we've got 30 seconds on the clock. Are you happy to run in the car for Ty Robinson, Andy?
Yeah.
Done. The fifth round pick is in. It's Ty Robinson from Nebraska. And now we've got the Powder Keg boys back. And their time in round five starts now.
You're on mute, Carl, but let's go. So if you're going to look, can you look at safety for me for one player? I want to see if he's still there. I doubt he is. Yes, he is. So it's a reach in terms of everyone's value of him, but I don't understand it because you watch tape and he stands out by far. Malachi Moore would solve our Apex problems over in a second. He is a fantastic player who can play, look, all around the box. He played deep safety, he played box, slot, pass rush. He's basically Mikey Sanristo in the Michigan 2023 system. I have no idea why everyone's so down on him. It's maybe because he's listed as a tweener. Didn't test hyper-athletically, but he is a really instinctive player, so that's one option I wanted to look at. The other one, if you look at edge rushers, just to see if there's any of those, stand-up two-point stance, 3-4 edge rushers. So if you go down a bit, I don't see any of them left on here. Colin Oliver is a hybrid guy, but he's way down. So for me, I'd probably say looking at, someone to fill our slot role. Kyle, let me know.
We've got the
corner that we like as well. Is that now?
He might not make it to the sixth.
181. I think we can leave it.
Yeah, it's a risk, but his ADP He's going late. We like Zafra.
Yeah, you got 50 seconds.
We really like Zafra. All right, 50 seconds. Okay. And then O'Donnell Fortune's a nice most corner, but he tested pretty poorly. So I don't want a slow corner. Interior offensive line, quickly. See if he's still there. Interior offensive line. Guard.
30 seconds.
Come on, punter.
Give us a countdown. Scroll. Okay, Miles Fraser, fantastic player. We can get him later. Okay, so go back to Malachi for the safety.
Let's do it.
Malachi Moore. Yeah? Drop them.
Yep.
Pick is in. Let's see who 15 seconds let's... to spare.
You know you know what that does to my heart? Because Alohi Gilman, okay. I don't know what that would mean for Alohi. I hope they can coexist there. You know, that's a crowd.
Oh, Alohi played deep. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just a lot of safeties. But
all right, back on the clock for your sixth round pick now.
All right.
Okay, so let's look at the guard, see if he's still there. Miles Fraser's there. Good. Okay, so then if you go, and Jackson Slater is meant to be good as well. Can't find any tape of his apart from YouTube, which is horrible. And then you were looking at your the corner that we both like. Let's see if he's still on the board because we haven't addressed that position yet. There he is.
Yeah.
Okay. So we both like him. Basically, he is the reincarnation of Tariq Woolen. Same frame, same size, same grade, same team, same everything essentially. And that proves to be a very valuable. And we've also seen that Jesse Minter and his staff can get the most out of guys in this range. So Kyle, I'll leave it up to you whether we address our cornerback spot, a developmental guy, or we get someone to compete for that left guard spot.
I don't want to risk losing Fraser, and I like both guard options there. I like Slater a lot for that value. Super athletic, strong, gap scheme guy. I haven't scouted.
We have got a number of picks in the six. So
I think that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I like both of those guys. So I would go Fraser so that we can.
And Jonah Monheim and Jake Majors all got upside. So that's four guys we can take at this position. Let's risk it and let's get our guy at corner before he disappears.
And I would even double dip there too, Rye. You know, center and a guard. That looks attractive to me. So Fraser it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh man,
I'm really happy.
They're rolling. I've heard a bit of off-field stuff from Malachi Moore, maybe being why he's down the board, but definitely a good player. Okay, we are
good
in
enough for Saban, good enough for me.
Well said. Hey, we've got Jim Harbaugh too. Okay, time starts now in round six, TDU. Corners and safety. So this guy, Craig Woodson, I started looking at him yesterday because he's Daniel Jeremiah and Brett Coleman, both of their favorite sleepers in the whole class. And he graded incredibly well for PFF in the 90s or something like that. 88.6 coverage grade, 85.6 run defense grade, 6'2", 10". And he can play deep in the box or in the slot. So at the moment, our outside corners... we've got Benjamin St. Juiced. We've got Dante Jackson. We've got Taheb Steele. If you think we need another DB who can maybe do a bit of safety and a bit of nickel, I think we shouldn't just copy their pick of Malachi Moore. Maybe we do something different and hit Craig Woodson, the safety. We've got more than a minute and a half. So if we're looking at pure corners, I just don't know a lot about these guys. So we'd be... Stealing what they said. I haven't got up to day three corners. I know Jason Marshall used to be a five-star recruit or something like that. He was someone for a period of time. People liked him. There you go. Former five-star recruit, 6'1", 201. Good grade in man coverage. So if we want to go corner, we could pick someone different and go with him. We have a minute and 10 seconds left. Any other position groups you want me quickly to look at, Jack?
No, I'm just looking at Craig Woodson here. He seems to be quite athletic and would be more of an asset in the run game rather than perhaps coverage. He seems to play a lot of downhill. That's a very busy, as Kyle noted, it's a very full safety room now. And I don't know, you know, where, if we took Woodson,
Gilman's
where
on
his
the
development...
final year of his deal.
But again, if Woodson is a sort of around
Gilman's
the ball
not
safety
on the team
rather
in
than
2026.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind looking
We've
at
got 30
at
seconds.
I'd be happy with Woodson.
is sort of that nickel safety role to sort of be behind Derwin a little bit. I've got my daughters banging on the door. Right. So, yeah, Woodson, I'm happy with.
Done. Okay, we're back on the clock. Andy, you're going to be the one who makes this final decision for this sixth round pick. Time starts now.
Where are we?
Talking about some similar guys. So, Kanata Mumfield. What was that, Andy?
No, keep going.
So we've got corners. We've still got that longer beam guy who I could only dream of being. And we have, we've got some okay wide receivers in there. Maybe a position we haven't looked at is center. If we wanted to go back to the offense, I mean, if Jake Majors from Texas is there, which he is, I know some people like him, and Miles Frazer's still there as a guard, although we did take Tate Ratledge.
Majors, interesting, and Fairchild's there as well. Which I don't mind,
but... if we're wanting, Fairchild is there. Wide receiver, if you want Jimmy Horn Jr., very fast slot receiver. Chimera Dike, outside speed guy. Elijah Badger, more of a taller speed guy. So if we want a second wide receiver, we could hit that again quickly now, or we could leave it. We've got about a minute and 20 seconds. So there are some good wide receivers still on the board. I think we could get another one of those before the end. But if you're wanting defensive players...
Is there any life left in the edge group remaining?
Yeah, not really. Fadil Diggs from Syracuse, who is a larger power-based rusher from the limited tape I saw of him. His grading is okay. 6'5", 261. Good burst and NFL caliber size. I'd be happy to take that to develop. 15% pass rush win rate. That's pretty good for an edge player. It is pick 199.
I'm gonna stamp my foot. So I like Dylan Fairchild. Sorry,
if you think we need it.
I like Fairchild. He's a background. He's got a wrestling background. I like him. I just don't think you can get too many big men. But I'll leave it up to you, Andy. I'm loving Fairchild from Georgia. You know.
Okay.
But that's who I'd be looking at, even though we took Ratledge.
Yeah, I'd
Andy,
really
your call.
We
got 10 seconds. Quick, we got 10 seconds. Ten seconds.
Jake Majors. Jake
quick,
Majors.
5 seconds.
Majors.
Done. With 2 seconds left on the clock,
you scrape that right in there.
Muted yourself, Al.
Yeah, Alistair, muted yourself. He was too excited.
Too excited. We only mentioned his name with about 5 seconds left. Okay, you guys are back up on the clock. There's only 3 picks left each in the draft. And
so, Al, I'm having to share my screen with you again because I just had to run a fire drill. PFF froze on me and the draft shut down.
Oh, nice.
I was able to get all of our players again. So we're
we reached a lot.
I wasn't gonna say it, Ryan.
AFF shut you down.
If you can recreate it, you probably reached, man. Yeah. I did have to reload it a couple times to get Henderson, if that makes you feel better.
Okay, you're on the clock. 2.5 minutes
okay,
starts now.
So didn't want to say it before, but Miles Frazer is my second rank pure guard in the draft. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I don't see any holes in his game. He moves well. He's strong. He drives guys out of gaps. He plays really low, even though he's 6'5". 6'5½". I was surprised at how big he was, considering he's always pad level is so low. He sinks. He's got a big lower half. I really like him if we're going to go guard. The other option is, can we look at, I know we've already got Loveland, but can we look at tight ends? Because this tight end draft, it's not got a middle, but it's got top and bottom to me. So Orlando Gadsden is a pure receiver, but he is fantastic. He was a real target hog, but he's in a Y. So it was more of a guy who didn't get Loveland. He was on there. And the other guys, it looks like they've already been taken for me. So Orlando is too similar to Loveland for me. So I'll probably say go back to the other options. What other positions have we kind of neglected, Carl?
It'd be Edge right now, Ryan, but already with how the board played out, I'm calling the Eagles and I'm taking on Bryce Huff's large cap hit and offering them a cheap draft pick next year and just making that a rotational position, and we'll address it later, you know, next year.
This Edge class literally falls off a cliff at the end, at the beginning of round three. It just goes nothing for me. So it's early or nothing. I was even looking at James Pierce at the first pick, but he's not quite a scheme fit and there's concerns as well. So, yeah, I think if we're going to carry on, I'll probably say Miles Frazer for me. He stood out for me.
All the way. And that follows the theme that I've been talking to you guys about quite a bit. The Ravens did a very good job of drafting middle to middle late guards, offensive linemen, and turning them into studs. And with us already having as many first round picks on our line as we have, that last spot should be able to be filled by somebody that doesn't necessarily have the draft pedigree, but has talent around him. So I really think, especially with Ryan feeling strongly about him, whether that's the pick that they go with, I do think Ortiz will have a late guard that he loves that will succeed with this team.
Okay. All right. Scroll down a little bit.
Before you go, would you have, if Fairchild was there, would you have taken over Fraser, or would you have stuck with Fraser?
He's not even on my board. As in, like, I wasn't even aware of his existence until today. So yeah,
okay.
The ranking I got, I based my board on. He wasn't on it. Okay. There are loads of guys that PFF have way above, so it's interesting. Like, also interesting that JH Majors just went to pick before us on this one. So
I don't. That's what I wanted to get.
Right, so this pick. Wide receiver, stay on wide receiver. I want to talk about a few of these guys. So Kendre Lambert Smith was a really fun guy when he was at Penn State, and he only moved because he did not get on with the quarterback, and also they just didn't give him enough of the ball. Really deep threat. Elijah Badger, he's more of an all-rounder, can do everything you need him to, but within, like, he's never going to excel. Caden Prather is the guy I like here. He is a ball winner. Can hit deep as well, really loves a post route. He went over a few corners and mossed them, so I feel like he's the guy that skills it we have not hit. So for me down here, I feel like that's really good value.
I like it. I'm in. Is there anybody else that we, any other position group you wanted to take a look at real quick? Ty Robinson, honestly, I like, but we already have our DI spot covered.
We do need to double dip on DI, so we could come back to Prather to see if he's still there in our pick in five picks time. So if you want to see if we can just grab Ty Robinson for now, then we can come back to that.
I also am okay with going with Howard Cross if you wanted a guy that could replace a Morgan Fox as a one gap penetrator, just a pass rush guy. And it's interesting that the Chargers brought him in to play or to work out as a fullback. So he's another guy that they're thinking could have that Scott Matlock role if we want to repeat that.
Okay, so let's go, before we run out of time, let's go wide, the wide receiver, Prather from Maryland.
You've got a minute.
And then we'll come back. Oh, well, we're on fire.
Done.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Okay,
we're good.
So I think it's back to you guys. So, yeah, I think it's back to you guys. So if we pause and we'll finish ours.
We've got two sixth round picks left. Jack, this one's yours, mainly to make final decisions on. And our time
can you just check? Can you check for me if Garrett Dellinger is on the board? I missed out on my guard last time. I know we got Majors, but is
Mate, we've already taken a guard and a center. We don't have a corner.
I just want to have a look at if Dellinger's still on the board, because I just love my big men. I'm sorry, is he there? That would be my pick. That would be my pick. And sorry, you can take that. That's who I'd like. He's one of my sleepers. I looked at him. As he's very much down there, but I like him. He's 322 pounds, gap scheme. He's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, but I think he's just a bit of a sleeper for me. He's one of my boys. So LSU
you
too.
Do you want to play? Do you want to play the board? See if he's still there for.
I'm happy to do that. I'm happy, but he's one of my guys. He's a Jack butt slap guy.
All right, we've.
We've still got a minute and 40, Andy. Team, if you were building a roster, though.
Yeah.
You
just have. Hey, so is there anyone else, Andy, that you would potentially go with here? We've still got a couple of corners: Zafra Frazier, Jason Marshall Jr. We've got, like, wide receivers, there are still a couple of nice ones. Jimmy Horn Jr. made a lot of plays for Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. He's a fast slot receiver. We could do with a second one of those. Kanata Mumfield, they've already spoken about him. He had quite nice tape, but maybe we won't take the same players. Maybe we've got more than a minute. So
maybe corner is sort of where we need to be looking a little bit, if there's still some decent names there. But look, this
A corner, the two main ones are Zah Frazier, who they said is built like Tariq Woolen, so 6'3", 185, 82.5 coverage grade, 82.1 run defense grade. And Jason Marshall Jr. It's pretty good. He is a 6'1", 201-pound corner, so also well-built. Grades per PFF anyway, a little lower.
Yeah, the mental errors.
Coverage, 68.
The mental errors and lack
in run
of ball
defense. We've got 30 seconds, Andy, so...
On the two of those guys, I'd take Frazier over Marshall Jr., personally.
All right, well, let's go Frazier now, Jack, and then see if your guy is still there in five picks time since he's there. PFF's 260-something
rank. If I don't get him, I'm taking my bags and I'm going to the Powder Keg podcast. Pick That's it. My scouting is done.
We have spies in our war room, Ryan. We have spies in our war room.
What's his name?
Dellinger.
Dilbert? Dillinger?
Dellinger, LSU. Offensive guard.
Believe it or not.
I think Jack's working on the basis that we can trade at least two of our current guards.
Correct.
This guy's falling off the bottom of the roster right now.
Thank you.
I mean, Roman. Appreciate that. Roman's
that's like, real, like, well, UDFA areas, isn't it?
We got him. Right. Yes, I'm happy.
You guys are back on the clock. Do you have two picks left, guys?
We have two picks
left. Or one pick left?
No, we've got two.
Final sixth round pick. You're on the clock now.
Okay, so yeah, we're going best player available, but let's get your boy first.
We talked about this before, Ryan, off the pod, but Howard Cross isn't the Notre Dame defensive lineman I wanted to get. I really like Mills, but he is a one gap penetrator. They did bring him in as that fullback, but I don't know if he has the profile to really excel outside of a strict rotational pass rusher, if that makes
but
sense.
But that's all we need, though, in down this far. And it's a skill we're missing without Morgan Fox. So I'm happy for him. Plus, he's got that upside of the fullback role. Desmond Watson's available. if you don't want to put a vending machine on the field, then
that's
we can
my other
bring
fullback,
Benjamin
baby.
What fullback?
This man
huge. I can't believe he actually went sub 6 seconds in his 40.
Jack's
unbelievable.
He had to Jack's generate a ticket more to London now so he can join the Powder Keg just to draft that.
Oh, gosh. He is a huge human.
Kyle, I'm not interested in Ty Robinson. He dropped this fast. Someone knows something. He's got a Bo Callahan issue. He didn't go to,
no friends so at his birthday party.
I don't want to look at him if he's dropped this far.
And the important thing, let's just take a screenshot of it so we can show it later. We're going to show everybody when they're voting on these that we passed on Ty this late just to make these boys look bad. All right.
For drafting I think that's what you're doing.
Okay. There we go.
Psychological warfare. All right. Yes. Can you put in Cross just so we don't run out of time and then we can talk about our round seven?
His dad also played. He's got pedigree there. And
Harbaugh
he's definitely
pedigree.
A high character guy at Notre Dame. He's a hard worker. He just some of the physical traits need to improve, but other than that, he's a solid young man.
Okay, we have double dipped a wide receiver, right? So we don't need to do that again.
You're on the clock.
Defensive interior, we've double dipped at. We've already got a full running back room, unless we want someone who's going to be special teams. Kuf this late. I mean, he's a receiving tight end, not that big, so I wouldn't want to look at him. I want to look at punters. or linebackers. Or
I
linebackers.
Linebackers, real quick, then I'll bounce to punters.
Anyone So. I've heard of the Oklahoma State guy. That's the only guy on that that I've actually heard of.
We're losing an Asante this year. Do we need another Asante?
Well, you have a look at their grades on it just quickly. Stay on there because I don't think there's any good punters in this draft. So yeah, I just and also I know we signed Scott to a multi-year extension, but I don't think he's great. So, but yeah, let's look at here. Look at some grades. Boost our skills a bit. That's a bit low. That's a bit low. What's his size? Kyan or pass rush grade? That is small. My God.
We're
a linebacker. Aaron Smith and then Nicholas Martin. Let's look at those quickly. Okay, good coverage grade. Good overall grade. Run defense, nice. Let's look at his size. Okay, yeah, and can do that. If he played, yeah, played will backer.
This is not much time Ryan and I have spent on day three, everybody.
You've got a minute left.
Yeah, okay, so let's go look at the guy from Oklahoma State after that, Nicholas Martin, because he's got the two of pass them are rush. Both late day guys. Pass rush, okay. Well, we didn't hit edge, so it could be something that we do target. So I'm going to leave it between Nicholas Martin and, was it Aaron Smith?
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag that Ryan and I don't have these late drafts or these late picks.
Not on linebackers anyway, well, but we kind of need one for special teams. So yeah.
30
so
seconds.
I do like just perusing what was available to us. That 20
seconds
grade while still having good coverage. That looks attractive to me.
Let's take him.
Done.
And we're done.
Their draft is done. Well done. Powder keg.
Are we going to look at the grades? Are we going to look at the grades?
We'll have a look. We'll have a look at the end. We'll have a look at the end. Okay, it's our last pick. Round 7, guys. Come on, TDU. I don't want to hear what people say if we go this entire draft without selecting one edge. And so let's have a quick look at another defensive lineman. And Nazir Stackhouse, he's a guy who actually is diagnosed with narcolepsy. Not even joking. I read it in The Beast. So he plays football and sometimes feels like he wants to go to sleep. So perhaps that's not the pick. But thankfully, there is a player sitting here who's actually one of my favorite random sleepers, Colin Oliver from Oklahoma State. He had the highest pass rush win rate in all of college football last year, 30-something percent. But he is dangerously undersized. I think he is like 6'2", 240. So he's a linebacker who plays on the edge. But I'm thinking in the 7th round, what you've got here is a special teamer who you could use as a deep designated pass rusher if you really had to. Or he can train as an off-ball linebacker. His pass rush grade of 90.8. I reckon that's pretty good in round 7.
Win rate.
The only other one, maybe you could double dip at wide receiver. And it's wild. Couple good wide receivers here too. Elijah Badger is a good outside receiver. And Kanata Mumfield, they took him much earlier.
Not
so
to step
what are
on
you
the toes
thinking,
of
Jack?
The,
do we go
boys.
With the...
I was going to say, have we neglected special teams, depth, roles, losing Nick Neiman? That's got to be consideration. I know we brought in Phillips during...
Well, that's what I'm thinking with this guy, because he's so fast. And, you know...
Yeah, it's a 7th round pick, hey?
You
happy with that.
You could groom him. You could train him.
Yep.
Okay. Colin Oliver from Oklahoma State.
Colol.
And we're done.
Okay. So we are done. Done and dusted, TDU crew. And let's see what the PFF people thought about the... Let's go with the powder keg guys first.
Well, they
We don't have Carl for a second. Let's wait till we get him.
No, Carl's there. Okay. It's just we don't have him on video.
Oh, sorry, guys. I don't know why the camera
shut
off.
There we go.
So the TDU draft.
That Tate Radledge.
Woof. Yeah. They've given us a B-, so we've gone for the audio listeners. The TDU crew have got, the TDU podcast have gone with Colston Loveland, the tight end in round 1. Tate Radledge, the guard from Georgia in round 2. Damian Martinez, the running back from Miami in round 3. Kyle Williams, great pick in round 4, the wide receiver out of Washington State. In round 5, Ty Robinson, the defensive tackle from Nebraska in round 6. Craig Woodson, the safety from California, Jake Majors, the center from Texas, Zah Frazier, the cornerback from UTSA, and Jack's boy, Garrick Dellinger, the guard from LSU. And then in the round seven, Colin Oliver, the edge rusher from Oklahoma State. And the Powder Keg boys, you can walk us and talk us through each of your picks for the audio listeners.
Each of the F grades, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Trayvon Henderson was a C. Jamari Caldwell's a C. Mumfield got an F along with Frazier. Now,
well, I'm surprised with Mumfield, but he was, for some reason, he was like, you know, the next receiver on eyeball. With you guys, he lasted till round seven. So obviously that looks horrendous in retrospective. I'm still a happy man with most of this draft. I feel like we might have reached a wide receiver out of desperation, but the two that we got complement each other really well, and I feel like that's the theme of our draft, so I'm quite happy with it overall.
Nice.
Definitely.
Kyle, copy that image, keep it, and we'll post it up on Twitter after the show. So that's it for that segment, listeners. What it might look like under the pressure, real pressure of the draft. You've only got so much time to make these picks. Let us know how you thought we went and which of the two podcasts had a better draft. All right, Andy, before we go, before we wrap up, how are we going to end the show today?
Let's just go around the horn with a couple of draft takes, guys. So let's take a look at pick 22, a player that we'd be very happy about and a player that we'd be a bit concerned about, not happy with picking them up. And then a prediction of who we actually think the Chargers will take at 22. And then just a lock that a certain player is going to wind up going to a team maybe in the first round. So, Jack, do you want to kick us off with your takes, mate?
Oh, well, I'll just start with Loveland. Forget Loveland at 22. Very happy, just like our mock draft.
Yep. Follow on with who you'd be concerned about.
Who I've been concerned about, Tuatara, whatever his name is, Tuatara McMillan. I'd be a little bit concerned about him. I don't think he's going to be there. I think he might go earlier, but yeah, I'm not a huge fan of him personally. What else we got? Because I forgot these notes, so I'm just making it up as I go.
Who you think the Chargers will? Thanks for listening. Who you think the Chargers will take at 22 and lock in a prediction for another team and another player?
Colston Loveland again. I'll say it just to be completely unoriginal. And I reckon Ginty is going to get to Dallas somehow. There we go. Oh, I have a feeling Jerry Jones is going to try and get his next Ezekiel Elliott because they love shiny things in Dallas and they end up sucking. So good luck.
Alf.
Okay, who I'd be happy about, Colston Loveland, but we've all talked about him. I'm going to say Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle from Oregon, is the other player I would be very pleased with at that spot. Who I'd be concerned about, I don't think he'll go, but if we drafted Nick Scorton, the edge rusher from Texas A&M, I've got him about edge 9 or 10 in my rankings, and I get it. I see the flashes, the spin move, but I think that would be early for me. And, you know, some people like him late in the first round. So I hope Nick Scorton is not the pick. Who I think the pick will be, one of two guys. I think Kenneth Grant from Michigan is a pretty high likelihood. Only because I think Loveland won't be there and I don't think we'll trade up to get him. The other one, guys, and people might not like this, I feel like it's the obvious pick that people are overlooking. Yesterday, Joe Ortiz said, when he was asked about who's starting at left guard, he said, oh, well, Zion's going to be the center. And I really like Bradley Bozeman, man. He's been a great guy and he could play left guard. And I spoke to Andre James about it. And, you know, he's practiced there in the preseason. Come on. Come on. When we pick at 22, Tyler Booker is going to be sitting there. He looks like a Jim Harbaugh player. He's 6'5", 333 pounds. He plays with the intensity. He's pushing guys around. And universally, out of the top 50 picks, the guys who most consistently come up as the best interview so far during the combine, he's always one of them as like the leader of Alabama's team. So I think you don't want to overthink it, but if he's there and we have a need at left guard and he's played left guard his whole career, don't be surprised if that's the pick. So I think it's Kenneth Grant or it's Tyler Booker.
I'm going to jump in before I throw to the powder keg boys.
Well, sorry, you missed the question for Al, though.
Oh, yeah. Who's your lock?
Ooh. Okay. I'll go left field. I'll go... I think the Falcons need an edge rusher. And I think they'll look close to home in Georgia and they'll take Michael Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia, who can be versatile in that scheme with Raheem Morris.
All right. I'm going to jump in before I throw to the powder keg boys. 22. I'm pretty happy either way with one of the two Michigan boys, Kenneth Grant or Colston Loveland. I think they're both positions of need. It all fits Michigan. I'd be concerned, even if it is the right kind of pick, I'd just be pretty flat if we took like a Tyler Booker at 22, especially Tyler Booker. Gray Zabel, sure, could be a better pick, but I'd be flat if it's guard and we're, you know, staying at 22 and picking a guard. I'd be real flat about that. Who do I think? I think it'll be one of the two guys that I mentioned, probably Kenneth.
Jack, why, just Jack, why are you shaking your head there for the audio listeners?
It'd be wonderful if we took a guard at 22. Oh, get excited, people. Big men win games. Who won the Super Bowl? The Philly Eagles. They have big men everywhere.
Yeah, they've also got other players that are different body sizes. You can't just take all
the big Dillinger men. At 22.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hashtag.
Dillinger no matter what.
It's not vanilla, but maybe Vanilla Bean. Membu to the Jets at pick 7, I think. They've finally got to get their head around making something of that O-line. So Membu to the Jets is my...
That's just another Becton pick. That's another Becton pick for them, I have a feeling, with Membu. Anyway.
All right, Kyle. It's over to you, Jets. Mate. Let's wrap this up.
All right. Who would I like? We discussed it. I just want one of the two tight ends. If somehow... Warren falls, I'd be happy with him, but Loveland's where I'm really landing and where I want to be. We all did the same thing there. Where I think they might go, and it's kind of my like surprise pick. I think I led to it earlier, but I led with Golden. I think Jaden Higgins sneaks into the first, and I think we might be the team that drafts him.
Interesting. That's a good one.
He's got the size. He breaks into 4.4 speed. He's not necessarily a total burner, but he's a true X. And I think he would excel with us. And I think he's going to drift into that first round conversation. Just like last year, we saw so many wide receivers go in the first round. And this year, we don't have the run on quarterbacks and tackles. So that's my prediction there. I do not... This was going to be what I said before you made your pick, Al, but I had a feeling you were going to go with it. Under no circumstance do I want Tyler Booker in the first round. The Ravens have been very good in the time that Joe Ortiz was there at letting players fall that have clear question marks that make them undraftable by other teams. Orlando Brown is a great example. He fell to the third round when he didn't test well in the draft. Tyler Booker reminds me of that kind of situation. His testing measurables are downright bad. Now, his tape can show that he could be better than that, or that he should translate to the NFL and be able to play at a high level, potentially, but he's not first round grade, surefire starter, in my opinion. If he falls to the second, we might have a conversation, maybe the third, but at 22, way too rich for my blood. And I think if they do pass on him, there's going to be somebody that can get that same level of production. I think I've hit the first three, the last one being my lock around the league. I think Shedeur Sanders falls to the second round. I'll say second round, but potentially if a team that could have gotten him at the top of the second wants the fifth year of control, they might trade in to 31 or 32 just to get the fifth year option. But I think he's going to be hovering somewhere between pick 29 and early second round, if I had to guess. I think he falls.
Very interesting. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely going to fall, but out the bottom, the first is bold, definitely.
If on that, Carly, if that happens, apparently Cleveland Browns' new OC, Tim Reese, was his OC last year. So pick 33.
Well, and that's why
come up a couple.
I genuinely think, Alistair, that the reason why he's been paired with some of these visits with Hunter is because there's a chance. I didn't want to go that far, but if I had to take a really reach bet, it's that Hunter and Sanders actually are on the same team.
How good's that?
Yeah.
Interesting. That would
be very, very interesting.
So, yeah, my the two, we've all mentioned Colton Loveland. Not going to go into it. There's some other guys as well. Gray Zabel, I feel like, is my best interior offensive lineman by quite a long way. I'm not a Booker fan. There's a lot of reasons not to take him. But Gray Zabel can play guard or away. He's going from tackle, but he showed at the Senior Bowl that he can dominate accomplished defensive tackles inside. So guard or center, he took snaps. They were all clean, especially in the Senior Bowl game. So that's another one. One guy, I don't think he's going to fall to us, but Shamar Stewart. I know Al isn't a big fan of him. However, he is an absolute freak of nature. 6'6", 260 pounds. He would score an RAS of 10 at defensive tackle or an RAS of 9.99 at defensive end. He is explosive, powerful. Haven't got super deep into his tape, but I'm looking forward to watching some more.
Ryan, I've come to peace with it. I've gone kind of full on him. At pick 22, I totally get it. I totally get it. Mm. So I'd be fine with
it. I wouldn't be spending a top round pick on him with and also there's some rumors about his attitude as well. The picks I'm concerned about, you guys have mentioned a lot of them. I'm not a big fan of defensive tackles of that option. I don't think Derek Harmon is worth it at that pick, in my opinion. People have been really mocking him lately. The two that are a little bit controversial for me, I do not want Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron at 22. Ooh. I think both are major reaches. Will Johnson is a zone corner that cannot tackle. That is just straight off of my board in anywhere in the top 50, or 55 in my opinion. And Jahdae Barron is, all of his picks come from tips and overthrows. He is a zone corner that, struggles in making explosive tackles. He can come down from a cover three position, but that's not what we play. Also, I don't think he can play man coverage well at all, except for on tight ends. So it would be a very niche role. That's not a round one player.
So we've buried the lead here. Hey, we get an hour and 20 in. Ryan hates Will Johnson and Jahdae Barron. We just clip this off.
Oh, you can.
Rage,
my grades will be going live on StormCloud. It's very, very clear on there what I think of those two players. The one I think that's a little bit outside the box is someone like an edge of James Pierce Jr. That at 22. I feel like that's a very Minter Harbaugh pick. They did not blitz much at all last season, and they had a high sack success rate for the majority of it. It went off during the playoffs. We could not get that pressure. We need that pressure. That's another level. He's a big man with production. He's got the length that we do not have. Even Khalil Mack does not have length. He has
so
power.
So this is your prediction,
stout.
Ryan. Yes. You think we'd go for James Pierce Jr. despite all of the red flags and the talk, we'd just go, he's the best guy.
I have no idea about red flags. You guys have no ideas about red flags. We hear it fourth hand, fifth hand. We're just guys on a podcast looking at tape. Yeah. So for me, I can't know that for sure unless he's got an actual case against his name. Predictions. I think Jinty to the Raiders is a lock and it's too easy for me. That's like the shiny thing, Chip Kelly. They're going to do it, but it's too easy. So for me, I am going to say that the Steelers are going to reach on Jackson Dart. I feel like they've put themselves in a hole where they absolutely need a quarterback. All the Rodgers talkers come out, so I just don't think that's going to happen. Jackson Dart's the best available once they get down to that point, even with Shadur on the board. So yeah.
That answers my question. Sorry. Oh, good fun, Jets.
Can end it there.
Glad we can bash that out and had a bit of fun. The gradings weren't great for either mock, but look, it's one of those ones, you know, it's all just chance on paper and then it just comes out and it either mirrors what PFF says it is or it doesn't. And it's all part of the fun leading into the draft. And we've got less than 7 days at this point in time before day one. And all of our
and we'll be watching it together. We've got Jack in the city with us at the same time. The three TDU people are going to be watching together. We might even post a little reaction video on Twitter. Let's see if we're happy or sad. I think we'll determine if we do it or not.
Let's try and do that in one take this time. Awesome. Guys, thanks heaps for joining us. We're sure to get stuck into it again with you soon. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll be back, TDU crew. We'll be back not long after the draft to go through some of these newly acquired Chargers. And let's see if we use all 10 picks.
Right on, boys.
Until then, take it easy. We'll see you next time on Thunder Down Under. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Good night to all!